In verse 4 of this 42nd chapter, God says concerning his son, he shall not feel nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Whenever our text says he shall not feel till he have set judgment in the earth and the isles shall wait for his law, does not mean that he will feel at that point. It means that he will not feel to complete and perfect the work which God hath given him to do. And the words I would dwell upon especially tonight for my text are the opening words of the text, he shall not feel. I'd like to speak tonight about the unfeeling Christ. As we indicated in our scripture reading, the one speaking here is God Almighty, the eternal, everlasting God, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who, we are told here, has created us, who has made all things. Verse 5, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. It is God Almighty who is speaking here, the mighty maker of heaven and earth, the giver and sustainer of life. And as we have indicated also in our reading, he's speaking of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior and our Redeemer. What delight God has in Jesus Christ. He says in verse 1, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, my chosen one, in whom my soul delighteth. And in this passage, God is surveying the great work that he had given Messiah, the Christ, our Savior, to do. And that was a great and a mighty work. It was the work and is the work of redemption. The redemption of all things, the restoration of all things to what they were before the fall. It's a great work of undoing all that the devil has done. It's a great work of dealing with sin. It is the great work of salvation. It is the great work of bringing all things once again under the word and authority and command of God, as it was in the beginning. Man has rebelled. Man has turned away from God. This world has gone into a downward spiral into sin, and man has departed from God and defiled this world with which God was at the beginning well pleased. For we read in the book of Genesis that when God created all things, he looked upon it and he was well pleased. But all has gone downhill since then. But the great work which God the Father hath given to God the Son, our Savior, is to restore everything to what it was prior to the fall. That's a great work. And that's a mighty work that God has given to his Son to do. And as God surveys this work and thinks of this mighty work and thinks of the person into whose hands he commits this work, namely our Lord Jesus, he expresses his absolute confidence in his Son. And he saith concerning him, he shall not feel nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. He'll not feel. He'll not feel then. He'll not feel until he has accomplished that work which God's given him to do, he will see it through, he will finish it, he will complete it. He shall not fail, but he shall accomplish all that God has given him to do. What confidence the Almighty God placed in and places in the Lord Jesus Christ. With absolute assurance, the all-knowing God says of him, he shall not fail. Now, my dear friends, if Almighty God could say this of the Lord Jesus, if the Almighty God could put this great work of redemption and restoration of all things into his Son's hands and be confident that he would not fail, then surely we should have confidence in him and trust him in every circumstance, in every situation, and know for assurance that he in whom our soul trusteth shall not fail. He shall not fail in any regard or in any respect. He shall not fail. He shall not fail in relation to the matter of salvation. And indeed, we can say that he has not failed in this respect. He has not failed to offer up a perfect sacrifice for sin. He has not failed to purchase and procure eternal redemption and salvation for all who will believe in his name. He has not failed. He has not failed. The devil hit him with all that he had until that night in Gethsemane. Our Lord's soul was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. And the devil threw everything at him to try and destroy him and break his will and cause him to fail in his great aim and object. But he did not fail. He went on to endure all the sufferings and abuse that the devil and men could throw at him and heap upon him. And he went all the way to Calvary's cross, and there he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He bore the wrath of God that was our due and offered up a sacrifice that perfectly satisfies the justice of Almighty God for all who will believe in his holy name. He has not failed. He cried on the cross with his dying breath, "It is finished." Talio, just finished. There remains nothing more to be done. He has done all that needs to be done in order to our redemption, in order to our salvation. There's nothing more, there's nothing remains for you or I to do. He has done it all. All we have to do, if you like, is to receive him by faith and know that he has completed all that is necessary in order to our justification from all sin, justification in the sight of God, in order to obtain for us pardon and forgiveness and cleansing and reconciliation. He has not failed to obtain and accomplish all that for us, for you, dear sinner friend, if you will believe in his holy name. It is finished. The work is done. There's nothing remaining for us to do. He has not failed in that respect. Not only has he not failed in offering a sacrifice for sin and so paying the penalty of the broken law of God for all who believe in him, but he has not failed to fulfill every precept of God's holy law for us. Let's not forget that important part of redemption, that important part of salvation. You see, whenever you and I are saved, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, what happens is our sins, which were imputed to him on the cross of Calvary and for which he paid the price and the penalty, his perfect righteousness is imputed to us. It is placed upon our shoulders, the gorgeous robe of his perfect righteousness. All that he did, all the righteousness that he did, is attributed to the believing sinner the moment they believe. He did not fail. When the Lord Jesus came into this world as an infant conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary and was born of the Virgin Mary there in Bethlehem, he never put a foot wrong. Never put a foot wrong. Every step of the way from the cradle to the cross. Never put a foot wrong. He did no sin. He knew no sin. Neither was any deceit found in his mouth. He was the perfect, sinless, spotless Son of God. And everything that the law demanded, he as our substitute fulfilled for us. He did it all for us. All that God's law required, he fulfilled it all. He fulfilled the precept as well as paying the penalty for our salvation. Yeah, did it all. He has not failed in that regard. It's all complete. It's a finished work. And let me tell you, he has not failed to perfectly and eternally save all who have believed in him to this very moment, this very hour. There's not one soul, not one sinner, no matter how black and how dark and how filthy their sin, or how long persisted in and continued in, that has come to trust Christ as their Savior, that he has turned away or failed to save. Not one. He has not failed. Even Manasseh, that terrible, wicked king of Israel who offered his children into the fiery arms of Baal and Moloch and caused Israel to sin and plunged Israel into idolatry, when he at length cried unto God, God in mercy heard him and pardoned him and saved him. Forgive him. He didn't turn a deaf ear to the penitent sinner. He has not and he will not fail to hear the penitent's cry. He will not fail to save the sinner who cries, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me. He will not fail. He has not failed. Not one has been turned aside. And there have been five sinners. There are people in heaven tonight, there are men and women in heaven tonight who have committed every possible sin under the sun. But they're saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, dear friend, as he has not failed to save the vilest offender who has truly believed in him, he will not fail to save you tonight. If you're not saved, if you will trust him as your Savior, he'll not fail to save you, you know. To do all, he has done all that is necessary in order to your justification and to your reconciliation. He's done all that. But he'll not fail to do more than that. He'll not only justify you, but he will give you a new heart. A new heart will I give you, and a right spirit will I create within you. He'll give you a new heart. He'll make you a new creature, a new creation. He'll take away the love of sin and give you a love of righteousness and holiness. He'll take away from you the dominion of Satan and sin and bring you into the light and liberty of the sons of God. He'll break every vile, filthy habit that has held you captive. He'll break the fetters and the shackles of sin, no matter what they are. He'll break them and he'll set you free. He'll bring you out of the prison house of sin tonight, if you only trust him. He shall not fail to save you and pardon you and reconcile you and regenerate you and justify you. But he shall not fail to put his spirit within you, to endue you with power to live the Christian life and to walk hereafter in holiness of life, and overcome sin, and overcome the world, and overcome the devil. He'll not fail to do that for you. He'll not fail to bring you through life and present you faultless at the end of the day before the Father's face without blemish or spot or any wrinkle or any such thing. He shall not fail to do that. And if you're a believer in this meeting tonight, let me reassure you that he'll not fail. And maybe you're here tonight and you're feeling that natural, that inborn, inbred corruption, which remains with us while we're in this world. That is not eradicated once we're saved. The old nature continues until we're at length brought out of this world and brought into heaven. Until then, we have to struggle with sin. Even the mighty apostle Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? That which I would, the good that I would, I do not. That which I would not, that I do." He's talking about the great struggle and battle he had against sin, the old man and the flesh. And we have it. We all have it. So long as we're in this world, we shall have it. But he shall not fail to give us the ultimate victory and deliver us. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, deliverance will come. He'll not fail you, Christian, in this meeting tonight. He'll not fail you. Keep trusting in him. And he will bring you at last to heaven and present you before his Father without spot or blemish or any such thing. He'll not fail, you know. Praise God, he'll not fail. And when you come to the end of the journey and the dark clouds of death begin to gather round you and you feel the chilly waters of Jordan at your feet, let me tell you, he'll not fail you then. He'll bear you safely over. For all the loved ones that have gone before, you shall meet. He'll not let you down. He'll not fail you. He's the unfailing one, the unfailing Christ. He'll not fail, dear friend, to supply your every need. My God, says Paul, shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's not just temporal needs, and of course it involves that. But it means that he will never desert you. He will supply all the strength, all the grace, all the things that you need to see you safely through this earthly pilgrimage until you at last reach the heavenly shore. He shall not fail. He shall not fail you. And he shall not fail to succor you as well as supply your every need. God has not promised the believer flower-strewn pathways all their life through. Oh, no, he hasn't. I know that there are preachers today who teach that. Come to Jesus and you'll never be sick anymore. Come to Jesus and you'll never know any suffering anymore, any troubles or any trials anymore. You'll never be depressed anymore. A lot of nonsense. I remember when I was in the land of Canada, a young woman came to me. She was a believer, I'm persuaded. She said she was. She said, "But there's something wrong with me, Pastor." She was visiting in the wee church in Canterbury. She says, "There's something wrong with me." She had a lot of Pentecostal friends. I says, "Well, what's wrong with you?" She says, "All my friends are like bright 100-watt bulbs. They're always bright, they're always happy, they're always cheerful." But she says, "That's not my experience." I says, "No, I'm sure it's not. If you're really saved, it's not. There's a devil, you know. And even the Lord Jesus didn't have that 100-watt bright bulb happy experience all his life through. For he said, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death.'" Yes. But I'll tell you, when you need that comfort, he'll be there for you. He'll not fail you. He'll be there in your hour of great need, standing somewhere in the shadows. You'll find Jesus. You know, he's the only one who really cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. He's the unfailing Christ. Oh, you who are afraid to trust him, trust him as your Savior, and you will find that he will not only save you, but he'll supply your every need. and he'll comfort you and succor you in your hour of need. He'll not fail to shepherd you through life, to guide your every footstep along the way. He'll not fail. He says, I am the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. He cares for the sheep. He cares for the sheep more than his own life. He gave his life for the sheep. And every true believer is a child of God, a sheep of his pasture, and can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The shepherd guides his sheep. The eastern shepherd, you will know, doesn't drive the sheep. He goes before the sheep. And they know his voice and they follow him. And the Lord says, I'll guide you every step of the way through life. I'll be there for you. Even when you cannot see the way forward, I'll guide you through the unknown future. I'll be there for you to shepherd you like a good shepherd I am. Until you reach at last that great sheepfold in the skies. In the passage before us, we find that he says, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. They'll never leave you nor forsake you if you put your trust in him. He will always be there for you. I remember as a young Christian saying to a dear sister, Miss Hines. Some of you will remember Miss Hines. She was a missionary with the Kwaibo mission. And I was a young man trying to know the will of God for my life. And I said to her, Miss Hines, she got me to do a few wee meetings, home cottage meetings and stuff before I ever came into the ministry. I said, Miss Hines, how do you know the will of God for your life? I wanted to see the pathway all the way to glory. She said, Billy, the Lord only leads a step at a time. He shows you each step that you must take. And your job is to take that step as he reveals it to you. You'll not reveal the future. He'll just reveal you a step at a time. But he says, whenever you get on a few years, you look back, you'll see the way he has led you. And bless God, I can look back. I'm an old man now. I'm getting old, so they tell me. I don't think it. I think I'm as good looking as ever. I see some boys I went to school with, and I'm walking along with a wife, or driving along with a wife, and I say, would you look at the cut of that? Boy, isn't he awful old looking? He's not wearing well. And she would say to me, have you looked in the mirror lately, love? Yeah, well, anyway, I don't feel old. But I want to tell you, I can look back and I can say Miss Hines was right. He has led me every step of the way. I was talking to a dear brother in the Lord, and we were talking about places I wanted to go, things I wanted to do. I wanted to do, but God shut the door. And I said, brother, you know, I've lived to thank God that he shut the door and I didn't go in that direction. I've had enough trouble along the path I did take without going down that direction. I would have had a whole lot more. He's guided every step of the way. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? I'm talking from experience now, young people. And he said, Lord, could join me up here around my, well, some could join me up here around the same age and bear the same testimony. He will not fail. He guides, directs every step that we take. May not fail. And can I say this? He will not feel to stir himself against his enemies. Yeah? Oh, you know, the devil in the world think they've got the upper hand, but they better think again. Verse 13 of our passage reads, "The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies." Devil, are you listening to that? You politicians that have turned your minds and hearts and backs on God and think that God's dead, are you listening to that? You enemies of the gospel and enemies of the truth, are you listening to that? Don't misunderstand God because he's merciful and gracious and not willing that any should perish. Don't interpret that as meaning he's weak, that he will feel, or he has gone away, or he has died. No, no. He's still on the throne. And one of these days he will shake himself. And he'll rise and he'll shake this old world of ours, you know. Yeah. And see the kings and the queens and the great men and the mighty men of this world who defy him. They'll bow before him. Yes. He's going to shake this world. And I want to tell you, I'm not in prophecy tonight, but that day I believe with all my heart is not far off. The prophetic clock is ticking. Yes. Well, I'm tempted to go down that road, but I'm not. I just tell you this. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh, and he will stir himself against his enemies. He shall not fail to scatter his enemies. He shall not fail to set truth and judgment in the earth. And the day is coming when there'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and when there'll be no place for the ungodly evolutionary scientists and wicked men who deny God and would wipe him out of his own creation and laugh at those that believe in him. They'll not laugh then. Tell me, are you his enemy tonight? If you're not for him, you're against him. And if you're not for him when he comes, you'll be amongst those who are against him. And woe, woe, woe to those who are against him. Oh, dear friend, close with God's offer of mercy while you can. For the day of mercy and grace is coming to an end. The gospel day is coming to an end. The day is far spent. The night is at hand. He will not fail now to deal with sinners, to stir himself against his enemies. I'd like just to say he'll not fail. I should have mentioned it earlier. I meant to say he shall not fail to restore his backslidden children, his prodigals, who've gone away, who have backslidden into sin, who've gone down into the swine troughs of sin and defiled themselves with the filthiest of sins that would bring a blush to the cheek of modesty to mention here tonight, and I wouldn't do it. But I want to tell you, if you repent, if you come back, he says, I'm married to the backslider. And there's no divorce with God. He'll not fail to restore you. Oh, friends, he's the unfailing one. He cannot fail. He cannot fail. He is God's special chosen servant. Behold, my servant, mine elect. God doesn't choose failures. He has the support of Almighty God. He is the eternal Son of God. He is the incarnate God. And the incarnate God cannot fail. It's impossible for him to fail. The Spirit of God is upon him. He's clothed with the Spirit. The triune God's involved in this great work. God sends him. The Holy Spirit anoints him and clothes him with his power. And the Son performs it. The triune God is involved in this mighty work. And he shall not fail. He cannot fail. He will not fail. And he'll not fail you if you trust him. If this is so, what should we do? Surely we should trust wholeheartedly in him as our Savior. Cast yourself upon him and be sure he'll not fail you. He cannot fail you. Just let yourself fall into his hands and know he'll not fail to save you. Put your absolute total trust in him, not just to forgive your sin, but to make you a new creature, to deliver you from sin's power and dominion and the love of sin, to give you a new heart and a new life, a new hope, new love, a new joy, to make you a totally new creature. Trust him to do it. Trust him totally as your shepherd and guide through life. As he leads, take each step that he reveals to you. And although it may seem to you to be leading you through a rough pathway or a tangled thicket, follow him and know that he will not fail. Trust him at all time and in every circumstance, and he'll not let you down. Dear friends, I recommend to you tonight my Savior, God's servant, the unfailing one. May we all put our trust in him. Trust him for salvation. Trust him for preservation. Trust him for presentation, to present us faultless before his Father's face when this world is done. May God enable us to do so, for his name's sake.